It's just gone 2 o'clock, time now for this week's early music show and an event recorded specially for the programme last Tuesday. It's introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Early Music Show, a concert given here in the Queen's Gallery in London. This beautiful building sits in the southwest corner of Buckingham Palace. Originally, there was a pavilion on this site, part of the palace gardens, but after its destruction in World War II, the gallery was built in its place to house the royal collection, and after further modernisation, it was opened by Her Majesty the Queen in 2002 as part of the Golden Jubilee celebrations. The gallery is home to changing exhibitions. The current show is entitled Painting Paradise, which explores how gardens have been portrayed in art from the 16th to the 20th century. And it's this theme that's inspired the music in our concert today. Garden of Early Delights, a mixed bouquet, I think you could say, of pieces from the Renaissance and early Baroque, performed by three highly acclaimed players, Pamela Thorby on the recorder, the lutenist Elizabeth Kenny, and on the cello, Alison MacGillivray. You can see some of the paintings and images that have inspired them right now on the Early Music Show page of the Radio 3 website. And I'm also going to be talking about some of the paintings later with the exhibition's curator, Vanessa Remington. But I see now the players are ready to begin. So without further ado, let's welcome our musicians. There are two pieces in this first set. The second, from the mid-1500s, is by the Spanish-born composer Diego Ortiz. And as you'll hear, it's based on a repeating sequence of bass notes, a very popular harmonic pattern of the time, above which the players have quite a bit of freedom to play around with the melody and show off their virtuosity. Mind you, Ortiz didn't leave it all to the players. He wrote down various rules of improvisation and ornamentation in a treatise which acts today as an important guide as to how things were done all those years ago. But first, we're going to hear a sonata by Biagio Marini, a violinist who worked under Monteverdi in St. Mark's in Venice during the first part of the 17th century. Now, this was a time when most composers were writing for voices rather than for instruments. So it was natural for Marini to take his cue from the nuances of the human voice, incorporating speech-like rhythms similar to recitatives and lyrical sections, almost like a mini cantata.
Thank you.
Ethicada Segunda by Diego Ortiz from his 1553 collection Trattade de Glossas. And before that, we heard Sonata No. 4 by Baggio Marini, published in the 1620s. Pamela Thorby on the recorder, Elizabeth Kenny on the theorbo, and Alison MacGillivray on the cello. The opening pieces from their concert given here at the Queen's Gallery in London. Well, as we've heard, the theme of the gallery's current exhibition is the history of the garden. And hanging on the walls around me are paintings depicting all kinds of outdoor scenes. There are figures sitting beside a lake or chatting or picnicking in some romantic rural idyll. And I'm joined now by the curator of the exhibition, Vanessa Remington, to talk about one particular painting that's rather caught my eye. It's entitled Pleasure Garden with a Maze. It's almost a fantasy garden, isn't it?
Well, yes, at first glance, it does indeed appear to be a completely fantastical garden scene. But what's really interesting about this painting is that, in fact, it does have a basis in reality. For example, the watery setting is loosely based on Venice. There's a gondola on the right, and in the background, we can see architecture which we can recognise as St. Mark's Square in Venice. And the hedge maze, which, again, to modernise, appears to be completely fantastical, is in fact something that the artist, who was a Flemish artist working in Venice around 1580, could have seen or possibly heard about in northern Italy at this time.
Because it's amazing, to use the word amazing, it is an amazing maze because, I mean, it looks, I can't imagine how you'd get out of it at all.
It is incredible, and mazes like this were becoming a very popular feature of magnificent Renaissance gardens in Italy. But in fact, it's not really the maze which is the focus of the painting. This painting is actually all about pleasure, and it's the people in the maze who attract our attention because they're having great fun there. They're frolicking, they're flirting, they're feasting, and music plays a really important part in the entertainment that's going on.
Yes, as always, the musicians caught my eye. Down on the bottom left, I think there's some musicians sitting on a barge.
That's right.
Playing all sorts of instruments. I mean, you do wonder how loud the music might have been in such a sort of open setting, because, of course, Baroque and Renaissance instruments are much quieter than modern ones, but nevertheless, it's a very pretty scene.
Yes, it is. And I think that the message of this painting, with the music, with all the pleasures that are being enjoyed, is one about the pleasures of the senses, warning people not to become ensnared in the perils of the senses and to become entrapped in the maze of the senses from which you're not going to escape.
So it's much deeper than just a pretty garden, obviously.
It's got a hidden message.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Vanessa, for now. And we're going to be chatting about another couple of paintings a little later on. But it's time now for some more music. And the first piece certainly connects with some of the pastoral delights we've been talking about and looking at. The English Nightingale, it is, by Jacob von Eyck. And it's followed by a canzona by the mid-17th century friar and bassoon virtuoso Bartolomei de Selma y Salaverdi, a piece from the one collection of his music that survives today.
Thank you.
Pamela Thorby was the recorder player there, with Elizabeth Kenny on the theorbo and Alison MacGillivray on the cello, in pieces by two mid-17th century composers who are almost exact contemporaries. Canzona by the memorably named Bartolome de Selma y Salaverde. And the set began with a good deal of tweeting in the old sense, of course, a musical portrayal of the English Nightingale by the Netherlands composer Jacob van Eyck. Well, time now to look at another of the paintings in the exhibition here at the Queen's Gallery. And the artist, like van Eyck, was also a native of the Low Countries. Vanessa, talk us through what's in the picture. It is a garden, of course, but isn't it very green or natural?
That's right, it's another fantasy garden, and as you say, there's not a plant in sight here. In fact, almost all the elements in this particular garden are architectural. We're looking along a long terrace with a balustrade and with large obelisks at intervals. And in the background of this painting, we can see a very long tunnel arbor, which was one of the latest Renaissance garden features. And there's a beautiful gilded fountain in the center, in front of which we can see a musical party.
Yes, again, that's very appropriate, of course, to us right now. And we have this lutenist, don't we? He's right in the foreground, but strangely, he's got his back to us.
He has, and to my mind, that seems to fill the painting with music.
Yes, he's got this bright red, very distinctive cloak, and he's kneeling down. One's wondering what exactly he is playing. As you say, although it's only a tiny figure at the front and we only see him from the back, you do get this sense of sort of almost the sound coming out.
That's right. And I think possibly it's included because there's a rather otherworldly, dreamlike quality to this painting. And just as the music fades away on the air, so youth and the pleasures of youth fade away. I think that's the message of this painting.
Well, thank you very much, Vanessa Remington. And again, just to remind you, you can see the paintings we're talking about on the Early Music Show programme page on the Radio 3 website. And in fact, our next composer is pretty well a contemporary of the painter of the picture we've been looking at. He's the English lutenist John Dowland, who spent some time at the court of the King of Denmark. We're going to hear his Fantasia based on the popular tune entitled All in a Garden Green, played on the lute by Elizabeth Kenny. And after that, we're going to hear a piece that's something of a tribute to John Dowland. It's a setting of what we might now call Dowland's signature piece, the Lacrimae Pavan, and it's by the German composer Johann Schopp. Thank you.
Thank you.
recorder player Pamela Thorby and lutenist Elizabeth Kenny there with Lacrimae Pavan by Johann Schopp, published in the mid-1600s. And before that, Elizabeth Kenny played John Dowland's Fantasia on one of Tudor England's most popular tunes, All in a Garden Green, which neatly fits into the theme of the current exhibition here at the Queen's Gallery, the history of the garden and all its delights. As does the next piece we're going to hear. It's played on the viol by Alison MacGillivray. It's by a composer who's thought to have been one of Charles I's court musicians, Simon Ives, and it's called The Gillyflower.
Thank you.
Two pieces for the lyra viol, an anonymous setting of the traditional dance known as Canaries, and before that, The Gillyflower by Simon Ives, published in London by John Playford in 1682, and they were played there by Alison MacGillivray. Well, Vanessa Remington has joined me once again to have a closer look at the final of the three paintings we've been looking at that's gracing the walls here in the Queen's Gallery. Although, actually, Vanessa, this isn't actually a painting this time, is it? It's less colourful.
No, that's right. This is an etching, a print, and it shows Stowe in Buckinghamshire, which was one of the most important gardens of the English landscape garden movement of the 18th century. And what's really interesting about this is the artist has gone to some trouble to show in great detail and very accurately the features of the garden, a huge lake, a classical building in the far distance, and avenues receding into the distance on every side. But he's also incorporated some very elegant figures in the foreground, engaged in a very genteel activity, and there's this musical party that you can see.
Yes, you could really say in this picture, perhaps more than any of them, it's where music and art really do meet, because among the little group we see is one of London's most celebrated singers at the time.
Yes, indeed. His name was Senesino, famous Italian castrato, and we believe that he was included by the printmaker in this print as a rather wily ruse to increase the commercial appeal of this print.
So he was a bit of a pin-up, wasn't he?
He was a celebrity, yes.
Well, many thanks, Vanessa. And it's time now for the final set of music in today's programme, performed here in the gallery. And Pamela Thorby, Elizabeth Kenny and Alison MacGillivray begin with two arias, very much connected with the famous Senesino, who we've just seen in the painting. As Vanessa said, this celebrated Italian castrato was brought to London by Handel in 1720. Now, his acting ability may have been less than perfect. He stands like a statue, and when it comes to gesture, wrote one grandee, he does exactly the opposite of what's required. But when it came to singing, everyone agreed on the extraordinary power, clarity, and sweetness of his voice. Over the 16 years that Senesino resided in London, he was feted by society and became extremely wealthy, playing 17 leading roles in Handel's operas, including Julius Caesar. And we're now going to hear instrumental settings of two arias from that work. Presti ormai l'Egizia terra comes near the beginning of the opera when Caesar and his troops arrive on the banks of the Nile in victorious mood. And after that, to end our concert today, we're going to hear a sonata by Corelli, number 4 from his Opus 5, if you're counting. It's originally, of course, for the violin, but it was also popular in arrangements for recorder. Unlike Senesino, though, Corelli never actually set foot on English soil. But his music was incredibly popular on the London scene. In fact, his style was so much admired that English composers soon slavishly imitated his music, the Italian style, which led at least one commentator at the time to moan that he'd wiped out all the old English music. But to begin this final set, we're going to hear another instrumental setting from Handel's Julius Caesar, Cara Speme, the aria sung by the character Sesto, as he plans to take revenge on his father's murderer.
Thank you.
rather genteel finish there, although you got a lot of notes for your money earlier on, didn't you? That was Corelli's Sonata No. 4 from his Opus 5, ending this recital at the Queen's Gallery at Buckingham Palace. My thanks to Vanessa Remington, the curator of the exhibition Painting Paradise, for chatting about some of the wonderful pictures currently on show here, and also, of course, to the musicians who've been entertaining us so very well, the recorder player Pamela Thorby, lutenist Elizabeth Kenny, and Alison MacGillivray on the cello and the viol. And the three paintings we've been discussing and which have inspired some of the music we've been hearing can be seen on the Early Music Show page of the Radio 3 website. But for now, it's goodbye from me, Lucy Skeeping.
And this week's Early Music Show here on BBC Radio 3 was produced by Lindsay Kemp. You may like to know that for our mini-series of garden-related programmes this bank holiday weekend, we're teaming up with BBC Music to bring you a playlist of music for gardens. Just head off to the Radio 3 website to find out more. And our next garden-themed programme will be in exactly 1 hour from now. Sarah Moore-Peach has the details.
As part of Radio 3's garden celebrations across the Easter weekend, we've an hour and a half of floral delights coming up on the choir at 4 o'clock. My guest is the aptly named Bob Flowerdew, organic gardener and star of Radio 4's Gardener's Question Time. And at 5 o'clock, my choral classic is The Five Flower Songs, written for the gardens of Dartington by Benjamin Britten. Choral meets floral in the choir, coming up at 4.
We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM, we're on DAB digital radio, and we're live online in HD sound. It's 3 o'clock and time now to go live to Ely Cathedral for Easter Festal Evensong. The canticles are the setting in E composed by Herbert Murrell during his final years of war service before he became head of music at the BBC. And the anthem is the first broadcast of Death Be Not Proud, written last year for Ely Cathedral by Francis Greer to words from the Holy Sonnets of John Donne. After the final hymn, the choir also sings Benjamin Britten's Festival Te Deum, which he composed in 1944 for St Mark's Church, Swindon. The service begins now with an Easter anthem by Paul Treptie, the present director of music at Ely, Jesus Christ is Risen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Welcome to Ely Cathedral for this broadcast service of choral evensong on this Easter day. A monastic community was founded here in Ely by St. Etheldreda in 673, and the monastery was refounded by St. Dunstan and St. Ethelwold under the Benedictine rule more than 1,000 years ago. When the Diocese of Ely was created in 1109, the monastery became its cathedral and the bishop its abbot. Evensong is sung this afternoon in the choir by the lay clerks and boy and girl choristers, those being members, all of them, of the King's School Ely.
O Lord, open thou our lips.
And our mouths shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
Sing the psalmody set for today, Psalms 114 and a portion of Psalm 118.
Yeah.